It's time for Everyday Lessons Now, right here at ITRNradio.com. How are you, Dr. Amala?
I am doing well. How are you this lovely Sunday evening?
Yes, it is a lovely Sunday evening. Even though it's cold and wet and rainy, it's still a great day.
I heard you say that, and I'm like, oh, well, at least I don't have that to complain about. It's just cold, but it's not wet. And not as cold as it could be, but you know.
Yeah, and it's cold. I'm cold all the time. I'm always cold. So you know what? And why complain about it? God is going to give us what he wants us to have.
Indeed.
And complaining ain't going to change.
It's not going to at all. What we need to do is throw our minds back to a time when we were happy about what we had.
Absolutely. I'm going to do that.
Maybe we can fix our mindset around it.
That's right. Good to see you. Very good to see you.
Yes, good to see you as well. Taryn is not going to be here today because he's recovering from a cold. Well, actually, he's now coming down with a cold. So he is not going to be here tonight. But nonetheless, I am here. I'm happy that you are here.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Some fantastic conversation. And you and I had spoken a couple of days ago. And, you know, you told me about this wonderful site. So I jumped on there and I found something that actually was in line with what I had done in one of my classes last week, where I spoke about managerial ethics. And, you know, sometimes when we talk about ethics, we kind of, I want to say, put it in a little box. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because we don't necessarily treat it in the way that it could be best taught, we, you know, don't necessarily end up having it practiced in a way where we get our students and people around us in general, you know, dealing with ethics in the way that it should be done. So I found this nice article about how we put ethics into action. So I said, let me see, you know, how this goes and how we can make it work for us. And I found some really good information, including some statistics, because, you know, numbers don't lie. So I figured once we get into the numbers, we would see how terrible we are as adults in terms of upholding our end of the bargain, or in terms of even running with the baton once we're given that baton. And some of these things are quite staggering, because one of the things I found in dealing with children, actually, it says that young employees are more likely to lie in the workplace than older ones. And it says that sometimes we hear between 10 to 200 lies daily, depending on the number of people that we interact with closely. And as children grow older and go to university, they often do not know that cheating and plagiarism are actually dishonest behaviors, because they weren't taught that. So when they begin to get punished for it, it's like, but no one told me I shouldn't do this, you know. Men apparently lie 8 times more about themselves than they do about other people. Women lie more to protect other people. And married individuals lie on average once for every 10 comments. And so deception, lies, cheating, and all represent dishonest behavior detested by society. Humans lie with their conscious mind while trying also to cover it up consciously. But our subconscious betrays us by displaying more honesty than we desire. By watching for another person's subconscious clues, the careful observer may uncover dishonest behavior in his or her homes or workplaces and so on. And it tells you how children, by the time they're 5 years old, the human brain develops outright lies to other people through flattery. And 9-year-olds can even cover up their own actions, because it starts when they're babies and they start crying and then they stop and sometimes look to see if anyone's watching. Mm-hmm. And if no one's watching, then they continue crying.
That's right.
You know? Or if they, and we don't discourage that behavior.
No.
You know, so it goes on and on.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. And so lying is a tool. And for some people, it's a tool that works.
And as you're saying, for some people, it's a tool that works. And I agree and disagree. Mm-hmm. Because if you look at the person that was occupying the White House,
right,
every single day every day for 4 years. I can't add, but 365 days for 4 years. Add that up.
It's a lot of years, a lot of days.
Yeah, a lot of days. They counted how many lies he told in a day. Okay, my granddaughter asked me if it was okay to tell a white lie. I told her no. I don't care what color you call a lie is a lie.
Is a lie,
A
exactly.
lie is a lie. And what I told my children as they were growing, if you lie, you cheat. If you cheat, you steal. If you steal, you're going to do everything else.
And we need to keep remembering that because I
Yes,
remember my
yes.
mother saying when I was a child, a liar is a thief.
A liar is a thief. A
So
liar is a thief. That's right.
if you
It's
put
all
it
the
in that
same.
box,
It's that's right.
yes,
It's
then
all the same.
children begin to understand, but okay, a
Yes.
thief is not a good person.
That's right.
So you don't want to be classed as a liar at all. So that is really how we need to look at it. What exactly are we telling these children?
And
What it,
I think
yeah.
we're telling the children that it's okay as long as you can get away with it.
And
It
that
doesn't,
is not good.
that's not good. And you're at the university level. And just as you were saying, that kids are leaving high school and going on to colleges, not knowing that it's not okay to cheat,
Right.
that it's not okay to lie, that it's not okay to do something that is not honest. And you, there was a, what is the guy? Oh God, I just had his name. Costas, oh, the sports announcer, Costas,
Bob Costas.
Bob Costas. Bob Costas, the woman who was the owner of one of the sports magazines, and no, he was one of the owners of the sports magazine, and she was the owner of a sports channel. I don't remember, but this was quite some time ago. They did an expose on the NFL. And I tell you, it was the most incredible piece of information that they could have ever done. But the interesting thing, it didn't do anything for anybody. They told the truth about the NFL. They talked about how NFL players were allowed to lie and cheat. There were two NFL players on the panel that day. And they talked about playing against all odds. They didn't do any work in school. They paid other people to do their work. They were able to get degrees and never do any work. And Bob Costas brought it all out. There were three of them. It was Bob Costas and the other two, and then the two black guys who were on the panel. I'll never forget that. I just can't remember everybody's name. But they talked about how they were able to pass and how they were able to get grades and get a degree and never sat a day in a seat in a classroom. Never sat a day in a seat. And they talked about getting out of high school and how the coach would go to the instructors and say, "He's my star player. What are you going to do for him? He's my star player. You know you got to pass him." And not with us.
Well, that is so interesting because in the first within the first 3 weeks of me being in this position, I remember asking one of the I asked my dean, and then when we had a group meeting for new faculty, I mentioned it out loud. And I said, we ought to do better by our athletes because when athletes
Yes.
don't come to class, I said, I thought that there was some kind of pass that athletes were getting and not attending classes. I said,
Yes.
because if you're in my class, you're not given a pass. You have
That's
to do my
right.
work. And people kind of sat up in their chairs because it's like, okay,
Yeah.
but I am not, if I don't uphold the standard, then I would be a part of the problem.
That's
And
right.
that's not why I'm here. And so athletes have come to me, they've sat with me, they've because now it's end of semester. So it's like, Miss, I don't need to fail this course. I'm like, yeah, well, we should have had this talk before when I kept emailing you and letting you know that your work was late. Because
Yeah, at work.
people were surprised that I am emailing students telling them they missed an
Yes.
assignment. They're like, you do what? I said, yeah, because I don't want to see them back next year. So
That's
I am
right.
giving you all the opportunities to pass my classes because you're wasting your time. And
Yeah.
I feel like, and I was saying to my sister, what we have now or what exists now is completely different from when I was doing my first degree. When I was doing my first degree, all of my teachers were not doctors. So I didn't have that ability to sit with someone who is an actual professor and go through like things that I can do now to make my life better. And these are the conversations that I have with my students. Because apart from just passing my class is one component in
Right.
your entire university life.
Yes,
So
yes.
I ought to be able to impart some knowledge that you can take from there because you might do things. And what I try to do in all of my classes actually is relate why this theory is important to how we live. So, you're not just learning things, but you understand fully how these things actually impact your work, the
Right.
job that you may have, the job that doesn't yet exist that you could have, all of those things. So when I was going over this information here, and I found some of these lies that people tell, and the percentage of people that tell these lies, I was appalled. So I want to share them. So the first one is, these are lies in the workplace, right? Studies about lies in the lying in the workplace. And these studies are recent. So they're between 2019 and now. So the year before the pandemic up to now. So the first one is, I'm not feeling well. That is the most common lie. Of 1,000 people surveyed, 60% told this lie. What is worse is that 28% of them believed it was harmless.
What?
Yes. And that's a staggering statistic. It's
Yeah,
staggering because
it
if you
is.
get there as an adult, then you cannot discipline children when they come in and pretend to have a cold or whatever, and they don't want to
Yes,
go to school the next day. You just told your boss you were not feeling well. So, where do we get off?
And you know what? I've learned throughout the years that a couple of things that you just do not do. One is tell a lie. Because it comes back.
Of
It will
course. And then
always, it
you have
comes
to
back.
remember what you
You
said.
have to remember the lie. And you have to
Yes.
keep, when you tell one lie, you're going to tell
You got to
another.
keep adding
You
on it
got to
onto
keep
it.
adding to that lie. Why lie? And I told my kids from the very beginning, when they began to understand everything, you don't need to lie because you tell one lie, you're going to tell another. And you're going to tell
Exactly.
another lie
Then
after
you'd be
that.
so
And you're
far
going,
in.
yes, you're going to be so deep into the lie, you won't see the light of day.
Exactly,
So you can't,
exactly,
you got to keep that lie going. So
exactly.
I didn't go to work the other day. And part of it was because the building is ravaged with COVID. The other part
We are
is,
not getting a break with this COVID, though.
oh God. And see, people have lied about COVID. People have
Speaking
lied
of,
about COVID. Okay. So we're dealing with that. So I did not want to tell my boss I can't be in that building. So I just told my boss that I'm waiting to talk to my doctor for a prescription. I will not lie. I did not have to tell him either one of those, but I wanted to be forthright with
But the
my
fact that
boss.
you're not going to work, yes.
Yes. And they have a whole lot of respect and admiration for me and what I do in that department. And there are people that will say, oh, just tell them anything. I'm just not going to do that. I'm just not going to do that. I do have sick days. I have sick days that I can take, but I'm not going to say I'm sick and take a sick day and I'm not
And you're
sick.
not sick,
I'm not going
exactly.
to do that. I don't
Right,
do that. No, because that puts that out there.
right, exactly.
Thoughts are things. I'm
Right,
not going to
and
say shoot.
karma is also real.
Yes, and my and no, let me say this, and Dr. Molly here hit my hand already. Karma is a biatch. I don't know that heifer, and I don't want to know her. Karma is a biatch, and she will get you every single time.
There's no
Okay.
escaping.
There's no escaping karma. There's no escaping karma. You think when karma's not watching you, she got your number before you know you have a number. Okay? Why lie? And I'll never forget, I was on my way. I was taking a summer school class at LA City College. And I was afraid of my dad. So I met a guy at school. He gave me a ride home to my grandmother's. My dad came in. He said, "Oh, well, how did you get here?" I said, "On the bus." He said, "Oh, on the bus." He said, "Well, what bus did you take?" "I made up a bus."
Right.
"Well, then, well, where'd you get off?" I had to make up this.
Yeah,
My
you had
father
to keep
grabbed me.
going.
I had to keep going. He grabbed me and said, "Don't you ever tell me a lie again." And by this time, I'm crying.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm in college. I'm in college. And I'm telling my dad a lie because I didn't want him to get mad at me for riding home with a guy that I had just met on campus. I didn't know which was worse, telling a lie about how I got there
Yes. Or
or
taking a
telling him
chance.
or taking a chance riding with this guy. And at that time, it was okay to ride with classmates. Okay. Back in the 70s, that was okay. But when he got through shaking me from that moment till this, I never told another lie. That was in 1970. I'm just not going to do it. I'm just not going to
What is
do it.
astonishing though is that 78% of people lie during the hiring process. And for this, they
Yes.
interviewed 400 potential employees and 400 HR personnel, right? So people lie about having a mastery of skills they barely use, like Excel or a foreign language or whatever. 60% of people lie about that. People lie about working at a company longer than they did in order to omit another employer. So if you don't want to say like you worked at Walmart, you might just embellish the fact that you worked at Target, you
Yes,
know, extended. Then 49% lied about having a GPA more than what they did by at least half a point. 41% lied about holding a director title when the actual role was a manager or an equivalent level. 41%, that is significant.
wow.
40% lied about earning a degree from a prestigious university when they were actually a few credits short.
Oh.
So you didn't, you went there, you didn't graduate, but you say, oh yeah, no, I got my bachelor's from wherever.
Yeah.
Nothing like that happened.
Wow. And
Third.
remember, there, speaking of lies, right here in LA, one of the senators, was he a senator or a congressman? He was head of a mill. He was head of a mill, a degree mill. There are, okay, there were quite a few people in this town who bought their degrees, literally. Some bought them for 10,000, some bought it for 5,000, some bought it for somewhere in between, but he kept that mill going. He kept that degree
I don't know.
going.
To me, for somebody, and not even because because I have a PhD, because I felt this way about it when I only had a bachelor's, because I had learned about someone who got a job by embellishing
Yes.
their what they
Yes.
did was they took their friend's transcript, and I don't know how they
Yes.
got it,
Yes.
and they were able to fit their name in there, and
Oh my
submitted,
God.
submitted for work, and they did not graduate from that school. They went, but they didn't graduate.
Graduate.
So
I wouldn't
I
want to do that. That's just if somebody found out, oh my God.
Exactly. And in the end, she lost her job because she had to be adding lies on top of lies. And she kept
Yes.
having to run from one place to another. And then eventually it caught up with her. And she was in a senior position that she did not have a right to be in. She had years of experience. But if you got in first by saying, hey, I have a bachelor's in this, then, and when I learned about it, I was like, wow, I just lost all respect for her because I didn't realize that people could stoop that low.
Yes, they can.
And
Yes.
then we talk about the long arm of the law, so it might not catch up with you 2 days after you submit it and you already
But
have
it's
this
going
job.
to catch up.
But years after, when people are
Yes.
now figuring out why you were terminated, it's like, oh my goodness,
Yes,
seriously.
that's right.
And
That's
then
right.
39% of people say that they earned a degree from a prestigious university when they only took one class online. So, oh yeah, my degree came from wherever. You took one class, ma'am. How? And 33% say they achieve things that they didn't. And these things are put in writing on your resume because you're trying to get a job.
Yes.
Now, it's simple enough for people to fact check you. In this day and age, I can ask for a transcript. But companies, when I guess when they get into the mode of hiring, they're not trying to reach out to all your sources because at this point they expect you to be factual because you may have to use some of the things that you're embellishing anyway. So it could come back to haunt you, you know. So they may not do that. They may not do that. Another thing that they've said is that younger employees lie more than older employees. And we do
Oh,
realize
yeah.
from
Yep.
the piece I read in the beginning, you know,
Yeah.
when you're not yet aware that these things could catch up with you, especially you think you're coming into the workplace and young people are most creative. So they find ways to try to work around, you know, what they're going to do. And, you know, they're people whose grandmothers have died a lot of times, you know,
Yeah.
and because they just need to get out of, oh, my grandmother died. And then, you know, maybe a month later, your grandmother died. And then 2 months later, you're like, how
You're
many
still, yeah,
grandmothers
how many
do you
times?
have?
Yeah.
You
Yeah.
know?
But what we don't do in this country, we've given up on integrity.
Of course.
We've given up on integrity.
And really, that is what this is about. Because
That's all
this,
it's about. That's right. We've given up on integrity. We no longer use morals and ethics and standards. We don't have that anymore. And we don't even impart that to children. And what really isn't necessary is that children grow up with a strong foundation and a strong moral compass. That isn't it anymore. That doesn't make a
If
bit of
and a simple thing like checking your child's school bag to see if they've come home with anything that
Yes.
they did not leave with in the morning.
That's right.
You know,
Simple
and for
as
you
that.
to hold them accountable, where did you
Yes.
get this pencil? This is not yours.
Right.
Oh, this
Not
eraser does not look familiar. If you start with the little things, because I remember when a couple, this may be a couple of years ago at this point, there was this inmate, and I want to say he might have been on death row. He had nice
Oh.
green eyes or whatever, a fair skinned guy. And
Yeah.
women were really, prison bae is what he was being called. Women were really into how nice this guy looked and so on. And so we started to talk about the fact that we were glorifying people based on what they
Yeah.
looked like, and nobody
Yeah.
cared what he
Yes.
had done to end up in jail. And then alongside his photo, and I don't know that he was executed because he came out as a model and all kinds of stuff because of how good he looked. But
Oh, yes.
he had these
Yes.
nice light eyes, and people were,
Yes.
women were really into him.
Yes, I remember that. Yes.
And
Yes.
I think it was a teaching moment because alongside his photo, they said he as a prisoner was saying, and I don't know if he was saying it, but his photo was used in the caption saying, Mom, you ought to be here with me today being executed because this started when I was 3 years old, when I stole my brother's sweets and you didn't do anything. Then it progressed to when I was whatever, and you know, it listed a number of things that got him to that point of being in the electric chair. And the mother was to be held accountable. And it was a really good piece because whether or not it was a true story, it made us realize, oh my gosh, this is how we drop the ball as adults. Because when you allow a 3-year-old to get away with something, when he gets to be 4, then he will try to get away with a little more. And then when he gets to be 10, he's getting away with twice as much, you know, and then nobody checks it. And so it keeps going and keeps going and keeps
Yes.
going. And then people
Yes.
end up on death row, you know.
Right.
And this is after they had taken someone's life because they didn't want to give them their purse,
Well, you know what?
you know. So.
I had a character education class, several character education classes at Englewood High School. And I'll never forget, and you probably know about this as well. Tookie Williams. Do you remember that? Okay, well, Tookie Williams was on death row. And he was a gangster. He was a gangster and he was all of these things that were troubling and he had a troubled life and blah, blah. He ended up on death row. Well, while I was teaching, there was a huge push to save his life. The students in my class, they just about lost their minds. And I do mean literally, because every day they were free Tookie, free Tookie. Well, I read to them what Tookie Williams had done. And Tookie Williams had done some horrible, heinous things.
Mm-hmm.
And the kid said, Cole, well, he's in prison. He served his time. He's all right. I said, but you can't take someone who has committed the crimes that this guy has committed and say that it's okay. Let him go.
Mm-hmm.
Let him go for what? Let him go. Wait a minute. And it took me a week to get these kids to understand that Tukey Williams had to be held accountable for mm-hmm. what he had done.
Mm-hmm.
I read off all of the things that he had done. Killed somebody at a 7-Eleven, killed somebody over here, shot somebody here. He had a not only a laundry list of things, of crimes that he had committed, mm-hmm. he was committing crimes every time he took a deep breath. Every time he woke up, he was committing a crime.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes back to, just as you said, it goes back to 3 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I was conducting workshops and telling teachers and principals, if you don't get these kids while they're in elementary school, you need to know that prisons are built based on the number of third grade students that,
of
leave,
course, of
that
course.
Do not read by third grade. And Dr. Amala, I cannot tell you how many instructors, administrators, directors are not aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
There was a white woman standing up in my meeting that consisted of 140, 150 faculty members and administrators. This mm-hmm. woman standing in the back raises her hands and says, where do you get your information from? I wanted to take.
It doesn't matter, but could you check it out?
Thank you. That's
yeah.
exactly
All
what
you
I said
need
to
do
her.
Is to fact check
That's
me.
Exactly what I said
yeah.
to her. I said, you can look it up.
Yeah.
She now the room is full of people and she raises her hand.
Right. To ask a
okay,
silly question.
To ask a silly, where do you get your information from? I turned to her quickly and said, you can look it up. I kept going with my lecture.
Yes.
I said, okay, because what you're doing is perpetuating the ill.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You want to
mm-hmm.
dispute this? You better go look it up because
mm-hmm.
you're right here with Black and Brown students. And you're
mm-hmm.
obviously, you don't care what happens with Black and Brown students.
Right.
Because you want to say, how do you know that? I'm a
mm-hmm.
Black woman. I need to know that.
And sometimes we need to use bad examples so that people
Absolutely.
get the point.
That's right.
I was teaching leadership styles last week, and one of the styles is charismatic. And as my example for charismatic leaders, and I asked my students to give me an example of a charismatic leader when I was done, and they were all stunned and couldn't think, and they were, you know, all had to, I had to give them a moment to compose themselves. Because I told them the story about Jim Jones.
Oh, yes.
And they did not know who Jim Jones was because this happened in the 70s. This happened in 1973 in Guyana. And I went into detail. I went into detail about Jim Jones.
78.
Yes, yes.
78, uh-huh. Go
so
ahead.
I went into detail about it. I was a child at the time, but I knew it from the history. So I told them the congressman was killed and this man had taken these Americans down to paradise. And, you know, then I told them where the phrase drinking the Kool-Aid comes from. And they had never heard that. Well, they
oh.
didn't know the origin of it. They didn't know the origin of drinking the Kool-Aid. So I explained to them how he had given all these men, women and children Kool-Aid at dinner time. And people drank it thinking that they were actually going to end up in the promised land and whatever, because he was such a charismatic leader. Then I told them about David Koresh. Then
ooh, yeah.
I told them about the other one from Waco. There were three of them. Anyway, another religious leader, right?
Yeah.
So then I said, okay, well, it's your turn now to tell me who you think is a charismatic leader. And a hush fell over Jerusalem.
Of course.
Because they're like, I said, no, we actually do have good charismatic people. But I want to drive home the point that when we think of charisma, we always think that it will end well. But people who get people to do bad things are also charismatic. That's the only way, because I did tell them about coercive power, where you get people to, be able to do things by force. And if somebody is close to you and it's affiliative power, like how was El Chapo able to get all these people to do those things for him? He was not in power per se, but yeah, because he could get them material things and provide a sense of protection, people were doing what he asked.
And look at the maggot. Look at the maggot who resided in the White House.
People knew fully
well. Charismatic. Yeah, he's not charismatic.
He's not charismatic. No, I explained that to them. But, there he had the ability to get things done because he had power. So he could coerce people into doing things. And people were happy to know him because he could sign something and stuff like that. So there are different ways that you could be in a leadership position. So we ought to teach people the good and the bad. And if we don't tell people history, then they wouldn't know it.
Yeah.
So it's all well and good for us to want to sweep Jim Jones under the rug because it happened so long ago and da, 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 but we cannot forget.
No, we can't.
We cannot forget it because people, innocent people, lost their lives. So, we have to be able to. And he knew very well that his whole thing was based on a lie. He knew he couldn't take anybody to any promised land.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's unfortunate that there's so many people who would rather believe a lie.
Mm-hmm.
They'd rather, it's easier for them because it fits within their framework. It fits within the way they think.
It helps the mindset they currently have.
They'd rather believe a lie. And those people who like narcissistic people,
mm-hmm.
they'd rather believe a lie
mm-hmm.
because it fits within the construct of the way they think.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And for me, I don't want to believe a lie.
Exactly.
I completely understand the damage that mm-hmm. is done
mm-hmm.
by not only one person, but mm-hmm. everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't tell a lie and it doesn't impact other people.
Right.
You cannot do that. That's impossible.
And that is why, and see, that's a hill that I'm willing to die on when it comes to relationships. Because if you are dishonest with me, then I am thinking, well, hold on, your mother might have known that you were seeing this other girl.
Yep.
And your sister might have known, but then your mother and your sister were smiling at me. I gave them a ride to the supermarket, and they knew very well that you couldn't drop them because you had gone to wherever. So now I'm the fool.
That's right.
So it does have repercussions, and then it makes innocent people now have thoughts about people who may or may not also be involved in your little lie. So it could be far-reaching.
Well, and could be, Dr. Amala, it is. It never could. It is. I'm a prime example of how far-reaching the lies go.
Mm-hmm.
I am an example of that.
Mm-hmm.
And my feeling, and I don't want to use the word feeling, I'm sorry, the way character, integrity, the foundation, as long as you have a foundation, as long as a person understands integrity
mm-hmm.
and how that integrity is who you are, we'd be so much better off. I worked with directors. I worked with principals. I've worked with all kinds of administrators who everybody at the school knew that he did not get that degree. His name is Dr. So-and-so, but it ain't legitimately Dr. So-and-so.
Right.
Because somebody else did the work and he simply got paper handed over to him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, listen, mm-hmm. and listen, and I'm going to say it. I cannot tell you how many folks in Los Angeles Unified bought their degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Countless.
Mm-hmm.
Countless.
That's not good enough at all because it just perpetuates the cycle.
Yes, it does. It just perpetuates the cycle. It keeps the mill going. It keeps dishonest people in positions where they have no business.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And good people can't get that position because somebody has pushed that nonsense into that position. And
and there's a gatekeeper who believes they're doing the right thing.
There's a gatekeeper who's mm-hmm. saying, give it to him anyway.
Yeah.
Here in LA, there was a superintendent. A superintendent. His name is Cortinez. A superintendent who did not care about the lies that everybody knew about. He did not care. And his explanation was, it was consensual. But the lies that he told and the foundation that he laid, everything that he did, followed him all over the country.
I was about to say, those things continue to haunt you.
Yes.
They continue to haunt
yes.
you. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's a shame because people begin to validate it because it's the norm. Because it's the norm. It's just what we do. It's how we operate. It's how we get things done.
Yes.
It ain't unusual. Hey, you know, stop squawking.
Yeah.
This is how we roll.
It also says here that
that's right. We got that done, didn't we? Lie ain't come back yet. Got that done, didn't we? Lie ain't come back yet.
It says that more lies occur on Monday and Friday, which is more likely to do with people trying to extend their weekend by a day or two, which is understandable. And to answer Kiana's question, employees who are not satisfied with their job lie more. So a survey of 1,000 participants found a link between job dissatisfaction and lying at work. 41% of those who said that they're not at all satisfied with their work also said they tell a minimum of one white lie a week. And
really?
Those who were extremely satisfied at work were far less likely to lie at work. Just 17% of those extremely satisfied had lied once a week. So if you're not satisfied, then you really don't care.
Yeah, you're gonna lie.
And so, yeah, so you know, we need to look at employee engagement when we're looking at things like ethics. You know, are people really wanting to be where they are? Because then it begins to be costly. Also said those in senior positions admit to lying more frequently than those they supervise. Those in more senior positions admitted to lying more frequently, with 37% of managers lying more than weekly, compared with 30% of associates and 28% of entry-level workers. Just the nature of being a supervisor or manager and having to report to additional contacts might be influencing higher rates of frequency. So again, now you're just compounding it because, you know, who knows why? And as I said, it would be costly. So the Association of Certified Fraud Examiners estimates that companies worldwide lose 5% of revenue to fraud, which is $3.5 trillion
Wow.
To fraud. Occupational fraud is likely the costliest and most common form of financial crime in the world. It is bigger than healthcare fraud, bigger than tax evasion, bigger than money laundering, and bigger than identity theft. These frauds, which are committed by individuals against their employers, affected organizations in every region and industry. The best way to stop occupational fraud remains something available to all organizations: create anti-fraud controls and train employees how to use them. I think it could be a little bit of a problem because they suggest it is important for employees to know what to look for. So if you see someone who's living beyond their means, then, you know, you might want to have them investigated. So like if they're driving a fancy car, going on extravagant vacations or buying items.
There's a reason.
Out of place, don't be afraid to dig deep. But if someone has a spouse or a friend or whoever, you know, somebody who affords them things that their salary doesn't afford them, then, you know, you may uncover something, but it may not necessarily be fraudulent. You know, so they may not have come out to tell you, oh, well, you know, yeah, I'm seeing this person who makes more than I do. And they, you know, wanted to give me this vacation. They thought I'm working so hard. So they gave me two vacations this year, you know, or whatever, you know, if it's not, just because it's not public knowledge doesn't mean that it is illegal. So, you know, it's a thin line. But I guess just asking the right questions could really uncover the truth about it, which is what you want to get to. But don't assume that somebody is doing something fraudulent because you see them with nice things.
Right.
You
Yeah.
know?
And we have a tendency to think, where are they getting that from? Where did she, how did she get
Exactly.
that? Well, how did she do that?
Right.
Well, who gave her
Right.
that? Well, how did, so, and we're not fair with each other.
No,
We're
we're
not
not
fair.
at
We're not
all.
fair. We're
At
not
all.
fair. We're not fair. So we always go in the back way instead of thinking, oh, great. How did,
Oh, she come up. We could just think, she's come up.
Come up.
Her side hustle is
Her
paying
side
off.
hustle is paying off. Okay. How come it couldn't be that? How come it's got to be something? Because that's where we go first. Okay. That's not how it's supposed to be. And when young people, generation, I think it's X and the millennials especially, the millennials feel that my generation got here off the truck and my generation was the great generation. So we really don't know what we're talking about when it comes to morals, because today, morals don't matter. Morals don't matter. And whatever it takes to get whatever you want, that's what matters. It's whatever it takes.
But I like the accountability I'm seeing now in the what's her name, Shanguela, the girl who was murdered
Oh my God, yes.
in Mexico. I like the fact that someone is in jail and ready to be extradited to
Oh
Mexico.
yeah, that girl, the girl, the girl. And I saw a man on TikTok who was crying, who was literally crying because of that horrible, heinous situation. And the girl that did the hitting, the girl that really committed this, she went back, she came back to the States.
They all
And
did.
they all did. And told the parents that
It was
she
alcohol poisoning.
alcohol poisoning. How could they have been so incredibly stupid?
First, it
And
was recorded. Then it was a bunch
yes,
of you, and you need to understand that when you get people together, it's fine. Once you start to separate them and professionals start to question people, and they didn't have a lot of work to do because there was a video. There was
yep.
video evidence.
Yep,
So,
yep, yep,
so the
yep.
one girl at least is being extradited. Right now, I think she's
Yes.
awaiting extradition.
Yeah.
So
Well,
that I was so pleased to read that.
yeah. And what was she not thinking? That's my question. What was she not thinking? Or what was she thinking? Obviously,
Because this was jealousy for this girl having her own things.
that's what
This
it was.
girl being able to travel, because the girl traveled often. She traveled often. She apparently was a beautician. So, they get a lot of money now. And now she's like a makeup artist. And so they invited her out and she went there with like $10,000, and because it was somebody's birthday and whatever. She declared to customs she was coming in with $10,000. So she had this money, and then they couldn't find it when they searched the room or whatever. So that's one of the things, like, where did this money go and whatever.
Wow.
So
Well, you know what? So apparently, and this is only the few things that I've read, apparently they were not understanding that no matter what they did, it was not going to go away just like that, just because they came back and said it was alcohol poisoning.
Well, I
What?
guess they thought, because it was planned and it obviously had to be planned the way that it was executed,
Absolutely.
they thought that if it was done in a foreign country,
They would be
then they'd be
okay.
scot-free.
Yeah, they'd be okay. And if they get back and tell the parents that it was alcohol poisoning, nobody's gonna
Nobody'll
be,
question it.
nobody'll question it. They were all none the wiser.
But
And
I'm sure she wasn't counting on the girl's spine being broken and that an
no,
autopsy could show something like that.
and she did not count on the guy that was taping it, videotaping it.
But that had
She
to be
didn't,
her friend, though.
yeah, the friend that was saying,
You're
Shanquella,
not
why aren't
fighting
you?
back? Why aren't you
Yeah, you're
fighting
not.
back?
Why aren't you fighting back? Fight her back. Hit her back. Hit her back.
At least once. Come on, at least once.
Yeah. And my thought is, you must not have a phone. You don't know how phones work, obviously. You don't know how this works.
And then who put out the video?
Yes.
Like there are a number of missteps if you all wanted to keep this silent.
My question is, how could you be so incredibly stupid?
Yeah, exactly.
God does not give you that much space in your brain to be that stupid. Okay, so how did you get to be that stupid? And all of them, they began to sing. All of them began to sing.
Individually, because now they're split up.
Yeah. And then they don't want to go to jail. They don't want to be in prison.
And then, of course, their conscience started to bother them because, you know, people started showing up at her house. And it's like, wow, they just heaped lie on top of lie until
perfect example.
Until adults started asking the right questions. Because you're at 25, you are still children.
Okay, you are still children.
Still
and
children.
This is a
cannot keep a story straight.
That's right. This is proof. This is the prime example of proof that 25 years old means nothing.
No.
Means absolutely nothing. So, and I'm positive. I am positive, positive, positive. These are the very same people that say I'm a grown ass woman.
Of course.
Okay.
Of course. Of course.
Oh, why? Why? Because you beat somebody to death? Really? Yeah. Really? Yeah. Because you ain't a grown woman. Because
what we need to do is go back now to look to see what was Dr. Martin Luther King doing when he was 25?
Absolutely.
What was Malcolm X doing when he was 25?
Absolutely.
What was Barack Obama doing when he was 25? What was Michelle Obama doing when she was 25?
She was 25.
What was Condoleezza Rice doing when she was 25? You
Thank
know what I mean?
You. That's
so
right.
We have some good examples of people who were focusing when they were 25 and they weren't trying to, you know, pop bottles in the club and, you know,
have
all the brand name clothing they could have. And, you know, they didn't have like inches of weave. And, you know, I mean, my goodness.
Right. And because I think we are so fickle, and because we say that it's okay for the recent generations to be the ones in control because they're the ones with phones. They're the ones with technology. So we rely on technology. And when I start my workshops, Dr. Amala, whether it is with faculty members, staff members, administrators, directors, I start my workshops by telling them we got here because of technology, because technology rules us today.
Mm-hmm.
It's because of technology. Where would we be without technology? And I'll tell you for certain, and I'm 1,000,000% positive. If we did not have technology, at least not to the degree that we have it, we'd be so much better off.
Mm-hmm.
We'd be so much better off.
I mean, that too is a double-edged sword because technology has afforded us a lot of things.
Yes.
But, you know, the management of technology is where we still need some assistance.
Yes.
Because in a lot of cases, we don't know how to control this good technology that we've been given. And so we end up with things like the dark web, you know, because we decide, oh, well, let's see how much I can defraud people of,
Thank
you
you.
Know, whatever. And we
right.
end up using it for bad. So the management of it has been poor. But I found these five things that we can do, steps leaders can take to reduce lying in the workplace. So, you know, let's look at some of those. So the first is to prioritize honesty and ethical behavior. So if leaders are able to establish honesty as one of their core values, then they can find creative ways to keep reaffirming honesty in the workplace. It is something that they can work into their culture. So you want to completely emphasize the fact that, hey, this is an open and honest space. And I want to reinforce the fact that what we do here is ethical. You know, if you can say things like that, you'd be good.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that leaders need to do is walk the talk. So you cannot do one thing and then, you know, say something else. If I catch you stealing
they do
time,
it every day. They
if
do
I
it every
catch
day.
You, you know, trying to leave work early, if I, you know, whatever, then why am I staying here until 5 o'clock when I should have left at 3?
Yes.
You know, so you have to be able to walk the talk. You have to model that honesty. The third thing that they could do is to recalibrate the performance management system. So if someone knows at the end of the year, I'm going to get an evaluation, and there aren't proper checks and balances on this evaluation, when I sit with my supervisor now, because I realize that perhaps I'd get a C, and this may affect my bonus or whatever, then I start fact checking everything the supervisor tells me, so that the supervisor at some point is going to back down. However, if you change your performance review system and you give people, let's say you don't do it annually, because you're asking people now to remember a year's worth of stuff. If you do it quarterly, so you change how it's done, then you're able to capture everything that people have done during the year, and you leave them less likely to try to fudge it, or to try to win one over. So they wouldn't be lying on this evaluation. Then another thing that they could do is develop a dashboard of honesty reminders. So yes, you walk into places and you see these quotes on the wall and slogans and so on. But if people aren't practicing them, then they're just a slogan on the wall.
That's all it is.
So, you ought to be able to have these visible ethical reminders and company-wide symbols that can help people say, okay, well, yes, this person is honest. So if you allow people to have, like in some cases, you can't have your own email signature. So some people can actually put a nice little quote in there, and it tells you, most times it's something about who that person is, what they believe in. So they may find like a quote by Gandhi or something and put that in their signature, So if you allow people to be who they are, and if you allow people to have like symbols of worship or religion on their desk, somebody who has a cross on their desk is probably less likely to be looking for ways. And I'm not saying that Christian people don't steal, because I mean, I have fired Christians. So I'm not saying Christian people don't steal, but it's less likely, for them to be involved in something that is, some kind of heinous skullduggery scheme,
I don't
I did say I fired Christians. So, it's but if you have these reminders of honesty, things that allow people to remind themselves, hey, this is what I believe in. When you get into a place where you're not allowing worship in schools, and you're not allowing, symbols of nationhood and that kind of thing, people lose who they are, and then they don't care. Because this was my moral compass when I came out and I saw Jesus on the cross up there. I'm like, oops, yeah, maybe I shouldn't do that. So now that it's not there, then it's a free for all. So, that's something that they could look at. And then the last one is to create ethics simulations. So, because honesty is a muscle, we have to keep practicing. We have to keep exercising it, because it gets stronger with exercise. The more you realize, and there's simple things. And this is a conversation I had with Terry last week. I said to him, because I wasn't feeling well. I was hoarse at one point. I was, and I said, I think I want to go to the doctor because I've been sick for like 10 days and this is not normal. So he said, you sure? I said, yes. I said, I'm happy that no matter what you ask me, I tell you the truth, no matter how bad it is. Because he would ask me every morning, how are you feeling? And I would say, not better. Or I would say, well, it's not worse, but I have not improved. So about the same, So imagine 10 days later, if I say I want to go to the hospital, he's like, oh, but yesterday you said you were fine. What if that were the reality? So you have to be able to, because with little things like that, and sometimes just wanting to go to work, because I knew that I had tested for COVID, and I just wanted to make sure I didn't have COVID, because I work at a university, there are old people there, there are children there. So I will not be the one who kills anybody.
Oh
So
God.
I tested before I went, and I went to my office and I said I wasn't feeling well, and I closed my door. Usually my door is open, but I had some grading I wanted to do, and I prefer to do my grading at my desk. So I went in, and one of the admins asked me how I was feeling, and I said, terrible, but I had to come to get this done, And I'm happy again that I didn't say to her, oh, I'm good, because what if when I had gone to the hospital, they said, oh, well, you have, whatever. And then they would say, but Dr. Mal, I thought you were feeling better. How did we get to this point? So sometimes I didn't necessarily think of it like that, but I didn't have to remember anything I said to anybody because every time they asked me how I was doing, I was just honest about it because that's what made the most sense to me. So if we're creating these ethics simulations, what we could do is have people put people in situations where they're forced to tell the truth, no matter how bad a situation is. So if you get practice with it, if something untoward happens, then you're like, oh, I practiced for this. Yeah, this is what happened. And you tell the truth, you know? So, yeah.
And you know, I think, and I, as you were saying that, I'm looking because I'm still in education. I don't know if lies are more prevalent in education or in media. And I say, I've been saying to people recently what I think people should really understand, that people use data. I don't even like that word data. I don't like it at all. In fact, I have a meeting with my boss on Tuesday about data. I don't like data because we know numbers don't lie. We know that. Numbers don't lie. People do. And where does the data come from? People. Okay. And you actually think that people are not going to skew numbers? Yes, they are. Don't be so ridiculous. Come on.
It also depends on how you collect the data as well. Because
Sure it
if you're
does.
collecting
Sure it
things
does.
anonymously, people are more likely to tell you the truth. If you are collecting things, information in focus groups where people feel that there's strength in numbers, you get some really good information in focus groups. If you are in a situation where you're asking people to raise their hand to agree to something, you might not get enough hands up, you know? But when people think that they can get away with it because their strength in numbers or because no one knows who it is, you're more likely to get some good information there. And that's why we ought to have more than one point of data collection
Yeah, we have
so
to.
that we can
Absolutely.
triangulate it, because
Absolutely.
that absolutely works.
Absolutely. And one of the things, I'm going to give you two examples, and I see your time is moving. To one is here in Los Angeles, I see numbers that talk about the homeless population and where they are. And as a matter of fact, I have an email right now requesting participating in the count. There's a count every single year. There's a count every year. The number hasn't moved, but we know what we see. The number is greater than what's reported. It's a simple fact. It's a simple, common fact. They lie. The numbers don't lie. The people that put the numbers together are lying. Okay? Because here in LA, every other person is homeless. The other thing, as I said, in education, they lie on every front. They lied with the number of kids in LA Unified. They lied. They told us that we could not mark kids late. We can't mark them tardy. We can't, because they had to keep those numbers at a certain level. So
Oh,
we're,
I
oh
see.
yes,
So
absolutely.
when things start to affect
Oh
accreditation and funding and
yes,
so on,
oh, I've seen it with my own eyes without glasses. I've seen it. Okay. Even to the tune of getting people hired. I'll call you back. Oh yeah, you're on. I'll call you right back. Okay. The call never comes. We're going to make sure that we get you in. The call never comes. Okay. So I have seen it at every level. I could go on for the next 5 hours to tell you about what I've seen, but this is your show. I'm not going to do it. So I just wanted to say thank you so much, Dr. Amala.
I want to wish everyone a happy holiday season, Merry Christmas. And I want people to think about what they're going to put on a list of things that they want to accomplish for 2023. We have a brand new opportunity coming up. So enjoy your holidays and think about what you want to accomplish in the new year. Have a fantastic.
Absolutely, absolutely. So thank you so much, Dr. Amala, and you have been listening to Intentional Talk Radio Network, Everyday Lessons Now with Dr. Amala Luncheon. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon. And folks, don't forget, next Sunday, we've got a Christmas story right here on ITRN Radio, 5 o'clock West Coast time, 7 o'clock Central. 8 o'clock East Coast time. You want to be with us. We're going to have great guests. We've got great songs. We've got Christmas. We've got fun and frolic. So be with us next Sunday, December 11th, right here at ITRN Radio for a Christmas story. It's going to be fun. Hope you can join us. Have a good evening, folks. Be safe. Merry Christmas and happy holidays. Take care.